Nev's gonna remember more of Korra than me because Nev literally just finished Korra a couple days ago. No lie.
Okay, so I feel like most people give Aang leeway. I feel like the character about this. Anytime Aang has ever done anything considered wrong or not good, it's like the fan can just say he's a kid, and it just gets negated. He's a kid. And it's just, he's absolved of all problems because he's a child. Do y'all think that's just fine? Do y'all think that's fair or not?
I don't think that it's because he's a kid that he gets a pass. I think because people just like Aang. That's first and foremost. And a lot of people just don't like Korra because of how she originally comes off as like very brazen. But two, I think people are very empathetic with Aang because we see Aang going through the journey of like learning the bending elements, finding out like his entire airbending like family is completely annihilated. People are very empathetic with Aang, and therefore they allow things to slide more with Aang. Whereas like in Korra, a lot of people feel like things were just handed to Korra, and he just got this and got that and got that. And so people are a lot more strict with Korra. And they aren't as lenient with Korra whenever Korra makes mistakes and things don't go in Korra's favor when they aren't necessarily mistakes that she made.
My only problem with that is like, so I wasn't alive. I'm not going to say the two people's names, right? Because we'll be recording. But I wasn't alive with two people, right? And they said that everything was handed to Korra. And they used the fact that she knew three elements at age four as an example. And I was like, but she was like talented though. Like she was a prodigy. And they're like, yeah, they just handed that to her. I was like, what do you mean? Who handed it to her? Like, what do you like?
Aang was like, also a prodigy. Like,
yeah, he was definitely a prodigy.
Like, I don't know, like he like pretty much grasped the basics of waterbending like the first time Katara showed him anything. Then he looked at the scroll, watched her try to do the water whip one time. She failed, and then he was like, oh, you just gotta move your body through the whatever the fuck. And like he learned the water whip right then and there, first try. Like. Aang also just got the hang of shit. Like, that's just, I think that's like an Avatar trick.
I think something they should have focused on more in the series with Aang's character. I don't know if we go into characterization or not, but yeah, like, I was talking to Neff about this earlier. Like, just being like lonely. Like, they attack it a lot in the series, don't get me wrong. But I think, I know it's like a children's series, but I wish they would have just gone in to how lonely Aang really was, because we have like when Bato from the Water Tribe comes in and Aang hides the letter because he's scared of losing Sokka and Katara, because everything that he's ever known is gone except for Appa. Like his whole way of living is gone. The people, his friends, everybody is just gone. So I feel like Razor said, a lot of people are empathetic toward Aang and like cling to him more than Korra.
For sure. And I find that crazy because, like, I'm going through my rewatch of ATLA, bro. I didn't even remember that Momo wasn't in the iceberg. Momo is just like a relic. Momo's a relic of his past. Yeah. It's like that's not even something that he came there with, bro. So not even Momo. Like, Momo's just like a constant reminder of, like, what used to be.
The original storyline was going to make it to where Momo was the reincarnation of Monk Gyatso. But like when they originally show Momo, he was supposed to be a reincarnation of Monk Gyatso, which is like why he took to Aang so well. Like he's so playful and or I guess the persona of Momo was supposed to like symbolize Monk Gyatso. But then they ended up like scrapping that and being like, oh, he's just some random, you know, flying lemur or whatnot. But
yeah,
but like, I do want to like push back a little bit on that. Like, I get the thought process of like why people don't like the fact that Korra was able to bend at least three of the four elements as quickly as she did, because like that it's one thing for an avatar to have like an affinity to be able to do an element or like to perform a water whip, but like we even see Aang struggles later on with more advanced water bending techniques when he gets to the North Pole, and then like Korra just comes out, it's like boom boom boom, like doing three different elements, and it's like no master, nothing. She's never interacted.
That was hard, though. That was hard.
I hear you. But what I'm saying is like, I understand why people wouldn't like that. The problem is then they see that, but then they ignore the fact that then she then spends like the next 10 plus years mastering the elements. She didn't master them right then and there. We know for a fact that she doesn't finish her training and become a complete master in all three of them when we see her, like, when she's, like, a 16 or 17 years old. That's when she finally passed, like, the last test and was considered a master of three of the four elements. So, like, all, she was able to do them at 3 or 4 years
old. I love, like, just like Neff said, right? Like, I don't know. Neff said, I don't know if you said this on FaceTime earlier, Neff, or you said this on this podcast, but you were, like, basically saying how everybody's complaints with Aang, right? Korra does.
Yeah, you know, about 3 minutes ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Like how pacifism, you feel me? So on and so forth, right? I like how brass Korra came on the scene. Like she bended three elements and said, I'm the Avatar. You got to deal with it. I love that, bro. Like Korra really one of them.
I'm not going to lie. I wasn't right. I'm sorry. Yeah, right.
That's cool. It's like, kind of ask you that bravado, that like, I'm that dude, I'm that girl. It only works when you back it up. Like, the issue with the writer, they made...
Wait a minute. Hold on. She backed it all the way the fuck up. Hold on.
Eventually she did.
She was talking crazy. Hold on. The pro benders, she backed up.
And a lot
of the time, because people don't like to admit this about Korra, she's also a kid. She's 16 years old, bro. She don't got the world figured out. She's 16 years old. The people, the adults around her were failing her. Some of the adults around her, like Conrack, they were using her. Like he forced her to call Amon out one on one. He put her on the spot and forced her to call out Amon. And how did that result in? She got jumped and she got freaked the fuck out. Amon was like, "I could take your bender right here," and he really could have. Right?
I don't blame the major stuff. That's understandable. I'm talking about like when you think like the little stuff like
so what you want before.
What is she not backing up?
I'm saying the story like when you, the little pro bending she lost against the Earthbender. I was like, how did you lose? Like, I get it's a competition, but
are you talking about when she was poisoned?
No, I'm talking about, earlier, because the USA is the master. I don't mind her having this attitude, but she has this kind of like as far as like cockiness, it's like on Gojo level of cockiness. Like, but you can't have Gojo level cockiness.
She definitely backed it up, but even when she backed it up, people still didn't like her. She wasn't skating through the story and was just like not like backing up like any of the bravado that she spoke to. People weren't liking her after the fact.
She's the Avatar. She already has the advantage at the start. Like you have four elements. Like as Avatar, you have the Avatar state. You are the strongest. Like bare minimum, you're still the strongest. Even if you don't know what you're doing, you're still the strongest. I'm saying. Just like example, like just like in Boruto, like when a character is presented to us, if you come off as like unlikable, it's just a Boruto is just now like his character is like unless you read the manga, he's almost just now he didn't start getting liked until like 2 years ago, maybe a year ago. Man, honestly, to the majority,
you doing right now?
I'm saying like her character, I like her. My outside of her. I'm saying I blame the writers for how they presented her in the start. Because a lot of people don't finish it. They get to a quarter and they just stop. He's already made.
Hey, do you think it's possible that the writers,
if they would have made Korra blind, people would have loved her just as much as Toph. She is no different than Toph.
I'm not going to lie. Toph is so much more insufferable than Korra. So much more.
I mean, I was saying sufferable, but I'm just saying persona-wise, in terms of their bravado and how egotistical they are, she's no different.
I don't want a clever. A Toph slander fest, but I got a real fucking bone to pick with Toph and the rest of the Earth Nation. I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. First of all, reading the comics, finding out the next three dorks that learn how to metal bend after Toph, and niggas be all in my face, bro. What's in the top is so tough, bro. She can metal bend. Do you not see her metal bending, bro? Like anybody can learn how to metal bend, bro. We got Korra, who's done three or four types of bendings that nobody else has done.
He's gonna ask that question. Don't go too far into that.
I'm tired of Earthbenders, bro. I'm through Earthbenders.
I just all I'm saying is I think a lot of people love Toph because of the fact that she had all of her bravado, and they look at her being blind as a disadvantage to Toph. They don't know that it helps her, and it helped her be able to master Seismic Sense even more, which in turn improved her earthbending. They don't acknowledge that. They're just like, oh, she has a disadvantage, and because of this disadvantage, she was still able to become one of the greatest earthbenders ever. Except the problem is like in Korra's case, she doesn't have any physical disability or anything of the sort. She just has the bravado, and people don't like that.
She told Korra, you're blind compared to me. She literally told Korra that.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I feel like you're coming from an angle where I don't really understand, because you're like, oh, it's the writer's fault. The writers did a wonderful job writing Korra. I'm not gonna lie.
Let me back it up. All right, let's look at Azula, let's look at Toph, right? They both have this same cocky arrogance that at almost 99.99%, there is no question, I'm leading this ship. If I get into a fight, the audience know and I know I'm about to win this shit.
Toph wasn't nothing,
you brought polar bear out of Texas, bro.
I'm not gonna lie.
When Azula stepped on the screen, we didn't have a question what was gonna go down. Azula was gonna take care of business.
But that's not the same as Toph, bro. Toph Glaze is insane.
Why nobody you just stood compare, on business like Azula.
You just compare somebody that took down Bossing, say, in a week, right? To Toph. Toph is a very strong bender. But what leadership skills are you talking about?
No leadership. I'm just saying as far as like, I don't have a question that if Toph pops up on screen, I don't have a question of like, this is gonna go bad. Like, no, I'm gonna assume it's probably gonna go well. If you get into the fight, I'm gonna assume
because okay, so that's cool, right? You feel that way about Toph. Why do you not feel that way about Korra?
No, y'all listen. I think they should have slowed her down at the start. She can have this attitude, but I think she's to
in her case, up to that attitude.
So what do you think was the point? Wait. Hold on. Brown skin. So what do you think was the point of the first season, right? Because if in my opinion, the point of the first season was that she runs in, first of all, she's like, I'm Korra, right? I'm not scared of anything, right? Just like the same attitude when she was four. I'm the Avatar, you gotta deal with it, right? Not I gotta deal with it, you gotta deal with it, right? So she comes to Republic City as this big bad Korra, right? Biggest thing in the Southern Water Tribe, right? And then she meets somebody, Amon, who she says she's not scared of, and has to let everybody know that she'll take him down. She's not scared of him. But little did she know, she was scared. That's why she went through with calling Amon out, right? Because she actually was scared. And she tried to overcompensate for her fear and go fight Amon when she wasn't ready to fight Amon, right? So this is her whole character.
Do you feel like he wasn't ready?
He's Avatar State. If you're being honest,
that's the case. Yeah, I mean, you don't even need to go that far, even to Amon. Like, you got to keep in mind, like, Korra came from a place of she's been training with the same teachers and the same masters for the last 10 plus years and has been beating them. There's no one there who can beat her. She has consistently defeated them over and over and over again, and this is all she has known for the last 10 plus years. There is no one in this respective area who can match her. Then she leaves, comes to Republic City, even before she ever even encounters Amon, when she participates in the pro bending, she finds out that it's a completely different style of bending that she isn't good at, and she's getting beaten at, right? And so then you have, and then she encounters the police, and they completely subdue her very quickly, and she couldn't do anything about it. And she's seeing all these things of like, the world is much bigger than I thought in my little ice tent or whatever way back where, right? Yeah, like, see, the world's bigger. I'm encountering so much more things. There's people who are better than me. Like, she's struggling with when she's trying to learn airbending, she's struggling with the little airbending test or whatever that they have, and then she's watching kids do it effortlessly, right? So, like, she's encountering all these things, and that's why you see after book one, she's nowhere near the same way anymore. Obviously, she's the Avatar. You have to walk around with some level of confidence. You can't be timid everywhere. But you can tell that brazenness that she has from book one is completely done away with by the time you go into book two, because of the fact that she's now encountered all of these new things and new people that she's never seen before. And it gives her that awakening her third eye, essentially, that the world is bigger than herself. And there's a lot more that she needs to learn.
And that was leading to my question. I was going to ask you, like, doing because she was Korra. Like, she had this mindset that this is who Korra is. And she had to learn that to not do things because she's Korra, but to do things because she's the Avatar. Because the second time she fought Amon, she didn't fight Amon because she was Korra. Because the first time, she said she fought Amon because she's Korra, and Korra's not afraid of anything. The second time, she literally said, if you caught it, she was fighting Amon because she's the Avatar and it's her duty.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I was just gonna say, Kaiga, do you not think that that's like a trait of good writing? I think they intentionally, like Kakarot and Razor just explained to you. I'm not going to go through the whole soliloquy. They should explain why.
The intent was to make her a way and then to build, like, kind of have her grounded and then build her up.
Yeah, but that brazenness was necessary to complete the whole character arc that we know is Korra. That character arc that we all, if you actually watched and paid attention, that you respect and understand that is really good. Like, that's necessary.
A lot of people didn't finish it. They watched a part way through and assumed, just like in World 2. They assumed World 2 was the same way from World 2 to the movie. They thought he was the same character until now. They thinking, he's a rat. Did y'all not watch a quarter of the show? Did I get past the movie?
Yeah.
You gotta keep in mind, like, I don't know if it was because Korra's a chick. I don't know if it was because she
it is.
Had dark
it
skin.
Is.
I don't know. But look, like, keep in mind, like, when you watch, like, shows where other, like, semi-MCs are considered, like, the number one or the great, All Might, for example, he's the number one hero in My Hero Academia. He loses repeatedly, right? But people can take into context that he's losing because the villains are going through leaps
when?
And bounds.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on, stop.
We can take into context that the reason why he's losing is because the villains go through loops and hurdles to try to get him to lose, right? They don't. Mm-hmm. It's not just a like a square up fight or whatever. They try to be sneaky. They try to do low jabs. They try to undercut or whatever, just in an attempt to be All Might. So when they do, it's like, well, of course they did this because they're the villains, right? However, in Korra's case, whenever there's villains who undercut or do shady things or cheat or scheme or whatever may be to be Korra doesn't get that same out. You're the Avatar. You should have just been able to overpower anything and get through anything and beat anything. It doesn't matter what the plan was.
Hey, brown skin, I just want to clarify, as long as All Might was recognized as the number one, he did not lose to nobody.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, even him being injured, he still bodies everybody.
He didn't lose to nobody. As long as he was number one hero. That's all. But Razor's correct. Yeah. Razor's correct. Okay. Everything he just said, I just didn't like the fact that he used All Might, because All Might didn't lose to nobody.
I didn't say why he was acting as the number one hero. I'm saying he was considered the number one hero. So whenever he lost, and we take into context when it is that he lost, it was every single time it was the villain had to do some long, well thought out scheme.
I'm trying to remember when he lost.
His final fight
I'm not saying like for example when he lost Bakugo originally, right? Ultimately they end up getting him back, right? But whenever, like, I'm not talking about like old, like the
oh you're not talking thing, about like a fight you're not
yeah
talking
like
about...
Wait, but he'll take losses okay, right? Where it's like,
okay,
before,
that makes
he,
okay, yeah, okay, right. Cool.
Yeah,
cool,
yeah.
Sure.
When he would take losses, and when you take into context these losses, you would see first, it always took multiple people being involved in order for something like this to happen. They had to distract him or do something underhanded or undercut in order to get a one up on him, right? And so people were willing to overlook that because of the context surrounding it. However, that same thing happens with Korra. She was traumatized when she was fighting against Kavir. She was fighting against the Here. She wasn't a fully realized Avatar when she was fighting against Amon. When she was going up against Vatu, she had to be concerned about Jinora, who was in the the fog. I remember, I can't remember the exact name of it or whatever, but she was worried about Janora at the exact same time. In some way, shape, form, or fashion, like, she's having to be nerfed, or she's having to hold herself back, or she's not at her full capabilities every single time, but those get overlooked. I don't know why. Like I said, I don't know if it's because she's a woman or whatever it may be, but there's other
things. It is. Okay, quick question. Who do y'all think, tell me a few while ago about this, who had more help? Everyone says, do y'all think Aang had more help or Korra had more help?
Infinitely. He had 10,000 years more help.
More help? You know what's crazy? You're talking about the team, right?
Huh?
Talking about Team Avatars.
Yeah. Team Avatars.
Aang had like the dream team, bro. Like you know, like what year was that? 98?
93.
Like I don't think 93. I don't think you know how crazy Aang's team is. Like in the story, so I finished the Yang Chen novel.
Or is it 91?
Like I want to say like Yang Chen has Kavik, Akudan, Tayagum, Jujenta, and herself. Right.
Kurik had the dream squad.
Right. None of these people are the best at anything other than like Yang Chen, right? Tayagum and Akadon are two strong waterbenders, right? From the Northern Tribe, right? Jujenta is a Union archer. He's actually cold, I'm not gonna lie. But he's never stated the best Union archer in the world, right? Kavik, spy. Let's just easy just say like that. He's more than that, but like spy, yeah, right? Right? So then we have Kiyoshi, which Razor knows, you feel me? We have Lek. Oh, yeah, never read the book, too. Okay, we got Lek.
All right, my dog.
Rima, Juan, Ron. Okay, Rongi's cold. I'm not going to lie.
Rongi's cold. Yeah, Kael Sung and
Jinju. Rongi, what? Top two firebenders?
I wouldn't say two, but she's
like two.
She's top five, top six.
She's top at least top
so,
five.
So, yeah, okay, she's not over Ozai. Well, yes, not Iroh.
Ah, dang, you gonna put me on the spot?
I personally, I wouldn't put her over Azula. I would not put her over Azula. I just can't. I think she's close. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think if she were to fight Azula, she's definitely giving Azula a run for her money. But like, when it's all said and done, I'd feel more comfortable saying Azula comes out on top.
The only squad we really know that messes with like has the best in the world that messes with Aang squad, because we know that for a fact, what was it, North and South? In North and South, Paku said Katara is the finest waterbender in the world. We know for a fact she's the finest waterbender. We have multiple statements. I want to say it's in a legacy book, Razor, that says Toph is the most skilled earthbender in the world. We know that Sokka's the most brilliant person we came across in Avatar, right?
He's a genius.
Literal genius, but nobody gives him credit because he tells jokes, but that's cool.
No, I ain't gonna lie. I'm rewatching ATLA right now. That nigga's an idiot. I'm pretty sure, like, listen, I get it. His ingenuity probably gone, because I remember Sokka doing smart shit, bro, but as far as where I'm at right now, season one, he's an actual dumbass, bro. Like,
I hear you, but and he's supposed to, you know, gotta take into account, he's supposed to be the comedic relief. But as you're rewatching, just pay attention to the fact that, like, people always say that Katara was the mother figure or whatever it may be of the group. That doesn't happen until book three. Book one, Sokka's the one who's keeping everything together, keeping everybody on track, making sure that everyone has food. He's the one who goes out and gets food. He's the one who makes sure everyone, like, gets rest. He's the one who puts the plans together. He does all that. Everything. The whole night. That's all Sokka. Katara randomly becomes a maternal figure of the group in book three.
He's the fucking brat right now. I don't like Katara right now.
Like, bro, in book one, Sokka doesn't have any feasts like that because you just finished book one, right? So,
clearly it's comedic relief, but like, he got like a group of 6-year-olds together.
From the start, bro.
Your fathers are looking for you to be the men. Like, they're all like two. Like, what are you doing, bro?
Keep in mind, if it wasn't for Sokka, Haru never gets saved. Him, his whole family, they're all gonna be stuck on the. They'd still be on the ship until Zuko ends up becoming Fire Lord and releases all of them. They'd still be on the ship by the time Aang fights Ozai. They'd still be there.
And they got a whole another year.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Once you hit book two, first episode, Sokka gonna start going crazy. Matt doing the ice dodging all the way to
The sexism. I ain't gonna lie. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny coming from Milo. It ain't as funny coming from Sokka.
What did Milo say that was sexist?
Milo. When he was going on a mission with Jinora and Ikki, and he kept complaining to Tensei. He's like, "Why?" He's like, "Next mission's gonna be all boys. I need a bunch of ladies here. Just being a little shithead. You feel me?" Then, but Sokka's like, "Oh, women are better at knitting. Men are better at fighting and everything else." So yeah.
my thing with Sokka was like, to me, the interpretation that I got off was because his dad left when Sokka was so young, Sokka believed that that's what things were supposed to be. Like, that was him overcompensating in his role to be the protector of the village and taking care of everyone. Like, he truly believed, like, if we, like, ignore, like, the comedy side of it, he truly believed if push came to shove, I'm supposed to be the one who puts my life on the line and dies so that everyone else behind me, all the women and children, can survive. And even when Zuko comes, you see he's the only one who comes before everyone to face off against not just Zuko, but the rest of the firebenders who comes off on the ship with him. So, like yes, he's very misogynistic, but, he takes it to the extreme of, like, I'm dying. Like, and I fully accept that fate of, like, I'm willing to die if it means I get to protect the rest of my village.
It's just the only thing is it comes to fruition with the Kyoshi episode, the Kyoshi words. Yeah. He's like, a bunch of girls took us down. No. Bro, Suki literally walked up to him and he was like, "Get out of my face. Where are the men that took us down?"
Yeah. But you gotta keep in mind, it's the same thing with Korra. Like, you gotta keep in mind, he's never seen a female warrior, ever. He's never even heard of one, right? So, like, when you spent, like, what, 14 years of your life, I think Katara was 15, however old he is.
Yeah.
So he spent 16 years of his life never seeing or hearing of female warriors, much less the Kyoshi warriors of all warriors. And all of a sudden, boom, you see Kyoshi warriors, and they were somehow able to not only take you down, but the rest of your crew down and completely subdue you. I'm like, if I'm putting myself in Sokka's mind, and then given what you have seen women do in your village, none of them fight, none of them, Katara is an exception. Every other woman except for Katara does exactly what Sokka believes a woman is supposed to do. So when you see Suki in them, he's like, no way. No, y'all don't fight.
He didn't even give it a moment of disbelief. He just straight up disregarded them, bro. Get out of my face, where are the men who took us down is crazy.
Make it all come full circle, right? If you remember, Brown Skin, Sokka was the person that made the plan to infiltrate on the day of Black Sun. That whole War Council meeting, the only way Coda is his name, their dad?
Yeah.
Hakoda. The
only reason why Coda was getting the plan Hakoda. Because Sokka wasn't ready to be a verbal speaker, right? Like, even that's, like, helping Aang. Like, Aang didn't come up with that plan, you know what I mean? Sokka's a brilliant genius, and he laid it out, right? Mind you,
brilliant genius. Kara
cut in through pure steel in that episode as well, when she came up with Appa and cut through the chains. That was submarine, but we'll get to that. So I think the only avatar that I know of that had a squad as broken as Aang's is Kurt. Right,
Kurt had
the daughter of what was Rongi's mom? I forgot. Rongi's mom was
Heiron.
No. What was Heiron's mom? I meant Heiron's mom was something. Like Heiron's mom.
No. Well, Rongi's mom is Heiron.
I know, but Heiron's mom. Like, okay, so when Kurt met Heiron, her mom was something like but it doesn't matter. It's not important, right?
Heiron, Jinju.
So, yeah, Kurt had a firebender that was so good that she's the headmistress for the Fire Kingdom, for the Fire Nation.
That was Heiron.
Exactly. Yeah. That's Heiron. Yeah. So that's how good.
And she became that from winning more Agni Kais than any other firebender in Fire Nation history.
Yeah. And that's like I said. That's why, like I said, I advocate for Korra because Aang had a squad. He, like you said, bro had he the Golden State Warriors.
Go ahead. That's the firebender he had, right? He had Kelsung, yeah. Right? Kelsung is one of the strongest airbenders to ever exist. He took out a whole fleet with just airbending. He has no other element to use. He took out an entire fleet of pirates. You know what? How much a fleet is? You can look it up, right? then you have Zhang Zhu, right? I don't want to spoil anybody that's listening to the pod. Zhang Zhu's very strong. He was able to get in an earthbending fight with Kyoshi, but it wasn't a regular earthbending fight. It was an earthbending fight in which they both enveloped each other's bendings, which means he has to have a similar output to Kyoshi, the avatar, one of the strongest avatars with output we know, right?
He's still a bitch, unfortunately, though.
Huh?
He's still a bitch, unfortunately.
We'll talk about it. I feel like Zhang Zhu was like a necessary evil kind of sword. I'm not gonna lie. And then we have Kirk. We have Kirk, right? Who's like broken. And then we have Nahida, but I won't mention him. Like Kirk's squad is also broken. But I'm gonna let you go, brown skin. I'm done now.
No. I was just saying, like you said, I think. When you look at totality as far as how much Aang was able to succeed, also, I was like, they don't really give credit to it. They feel like, Aang did all this at school. Aang had a team on. Like, I don't really believe if you gave Korra.
Two things can be true.
Yeah, no, I do think Aang is him for real. But I mean, if you gave Korra, Toph, Katara, Sokka, gave him that same squad, we wouldn't be having this conversation about, Korra failed, Korra. Aang had the best of the best on his team, so I would assume.
Yeah, I can tell you with 100% confidence, Amon wouldn't have been a problem. Tarlac wouldn't have been a problem. Zaheer, the whole Red Lotus wouldn't have been a problem.
I will tell you though.
Oh, Kovira wouldn't have been a problem. Nobody.
Hold on. I ain't gonna lie. Korra was not gonna let them. Jump Kovira. I don't think Korra was going for that. Not gonna lie to you.
I mean, I just think your team is just as important as the main, as the front person. Like, I like they don't really give the team that Aang has saying like his team is elite. And Korra, who do you got? Bolin? Like, who's really like the?
Hey, if Korra don't sleep on Bolin. Don't sleep on Bolin.
Yeah, but like, come on, let's be real. Aang had the perfect team. He had the greatest waterbender to ever live, ever. There's no waterbender better than Katara. He had one of the greatest earthbenders to ever live. I mean, you may be able to name two people that you could probably argue that are superior to Toph in terms of earthbending. He had a borderline genius in the entirety of the Avatar lore. You might be able to name one person who you could say is smarter than Sokka in terms of strategy and planning. And the only person I can think of who I would say might be is Jinju. Outside of that, nobody. No one is a better tactician or strategist than Sokka.
No, Azula, no Iroh.
No, not in terms of strategy. In terms of strategy. Yeah, in terms of strategy.
I don't know. Baki saying a week is crazy.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool, but that's it.
I mean, that's fine.
Quality versus quantity, right? Like,
Sokka can't do that.
What?
The only problem with that is you would have to say Sokka can't do that. Like,
I'm not saying that there aren't other people who are smart. I'm saying I can't Sokka think can take over Boston saying we can't correct. There's not people who I would say I could put over Sokka in terms of his strategy in tactical planning, including Azula. I would not put Azula over Sokka.
Hold on. I feel you, but Kakarot, hold on, wait. So Sokka can take over Ba Sing Se in a week?
I think he could, right? I think because first, hold on. I think we're underestimating how smart Sokka is, and I feel like this is crazy, right? So let me put you on game, bro. So first off, she infiltrated Ba Sing Se first, right? I'm sure we all believe that Sokka would be able to infiltrate Ba Sing Se.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. So after that, I'm gonna go a lot. I don't think he has the stomach to like hold the Earth King. Okay, you know what? I'll say he could definitely. All right, I'm not gonna lie. So the only problem is Azula did that with Aura. It wasn't even like she was so smart. Like infiltrating Boston say 100%. She took over the Dai Li with Aura alone. Like I'm not gonna lie. Yeah,
I don't know why he's doing a lot of stuttering. I say 100% confidence. Yes. Sokka's the same person who went to Boiling Rock, a prison that was considered inescapable. No one would be able to get out. Not only did he think of a plan to get out, when that plan fell, he had a backup plan already ready to go. I'm 100% certain that he could have figured out a way to take over Ba Sing Se in a week.
Why he didn't devise a plan to fucking catch a powerless Azula?
Why didn't he devise it? Because the plan wasn't to catch a powerless
Azula. It was supposed to run into Ozai, and they ran into Azula.
Yeah, the plane was for Ozai.
Okay, real quick. Does his strategic planning stop at before shit happens?
Bro, that's bad. I'm going to go lie. Yeah, that's strategy, right? Battle IQ was in the midst of battle.
Yeah, the only reason that happened was just because Azula knew of their plan, and they didn't know that Azula knew. Azula found out their plan.
Okay, so people talked to me, I didn't hear about this, but they talked about how Korra had all these teachers, masters, all these help, all these years. Y'all think that's an equivalent to what Aang, or close to an equivalent to what Aang had? Then, you know, people, Aang kind of got thrown into it.
He was, what's the question again?
So the whole who had actual more assist, like more help, because Aang kind of got thrown into it, even though he had better teammates, he kind of just got thrown into the fire and had to kind of like start.
I mean, versus, let's be real, like. Aang was trained by the some of his firebending training was from the dragons and Zuko, which people downplay Zuko's firebending skills, but Zuko is him in terms of firebending. He had Toph, one of the greatest earthbenders, as a teacher. He had Katara, the greatest waterbender, as a teacher. He had he had Sokka. Even if we ignore Zuko and we ignore the dragons, he had a Grand White Lotus member who was going to be his firebending teacher. Mako, imagine Mako is just like a regular firebender. Like, he's good with lightning bending, but like in terms of fire, he's a regular firebender. It's like nothing he did was just like super impressive. Like, we see like Iroh completely destroyed the metal prison that he's in. Mako was like sitting forever trying to burn one bar and was begging Bolin to figure out how to lava bend so that he could get out.
Wait a minute. Does Aang continue to learn waterbending in Book 2?
Wait, hold on.
I'm not done. Was Katara the best waterbender ever by the end of Book 2?
No.
Okay,
Yes, he was. Katara was the greatest. By the time she leaves the Northern Water Tribe, she's considered the greatest waterbender. She surpassed Paku.
Okay, so when does Aang complete his waterbending?
By the time he meets Toph, he's already a master waterbender. However, he continues waterbending training along with his earthbending training. He doesn't master earthbending until book 3.
So does he meet Toph before they leave the North Pole?
No.
He meets Toph in book 2.
So they became masters together?
Who did?
Katara and Aang.
Katara becomes a master first, and then Aang later on becomes a master.
So how much stock do y'all put into Korra's teachers? Like, how much is that? Like, how much would you be like, she should be at a certain point because she had these masters as teachers?
Who are her masters?
I don't know.
They're a White Lotus. She was trained by the White Lotus.
Yeah, I understand that. That's my question is, who are they? Like, White Lotus is enough.
The comment section saying, well, she started as a child. She was isolated. She had pretty much the next 10 years straight from these masters, the White Lotus, and had all these people. We had Tenzin. We had all these people.
I get what you're saying. He's saying because Aang was on a time crunch. Aang had a year.
The time crunch, you gotta just hop to him. But again, I do think when you're under pressure, things. Now, you know, you crank or you make it. And I do think her having all that concentrated training, and I hate when people compare Aang and Korra because they're two different people. Like, they are two different people. And I don't know why they're being compared when they have two different situations.
You gotta keep in mind, like, Aang is a prodigy among prodigies. Like, Aang is when it comes to avatars, what Aang accomplished was unreal, right? Like, there's like the reason why, and I tell people this, I go alive. The reason why Ozai was as confident as he was against Aang was because before Aang, it has taken every single avatar over a decade for them to master all of the elements. They even go through a whole training montage with Roku on how long it took him to master all of the elements. This is consistent among all of the avatars. It takes them years for them to master all the elements. By the end, books 1, 2, and 3 for Avatar: The Last Airbender spans 10 months. By the end of book 3, by the end of his fight with Ozai, Aang had become a fully realized avatar, which means that he's mastered not only all 4 of the elements, but also the avatar state as well. This is completely unheard of. And there's no reason for Ozai to think that he's mastered even 2 elements, much less all 4 and the avatar state on top of that. Right. So also Guru Patik, mastering the avatar state shouldn't have been as simple as it was for Aang. And just like just let go of your attachments or whatever. But it's Aang.
He should have been flying, not mastering the avatar state.
Yeah, he's just a prodigy. So like when you take Korra into account and take it to the fact that it took her years to get to where she was at.
Mm. You know what, Ranger? It feels different because
I think people about this.
The avatar state was made to be such a big ass deal, you feel me, and ATLA, and then we got Korra using the avatar state to like win races against Milo, you feel me. So like it looks different when it looks like Korra, like, it's just so effortless, she could just do it for anything, and versus Aang only used it for certain things. But the difference is intention and not in, you know, who was it easier for, right? Like Korra understanding, she has a much better understanding of what it means to be an avatar, I think, at that age that Aang did. Aang found out he was the avatar, and then several days later he was trapped in ice, you feel me? So I don't think it would be crazy for Korra to not only have a better handle on the avatar state and shit, but to use it for other things, because it's not foreign to her. This is something that she's grown up with, because again, she is the avatar. So like, even now, I feel like that's such a minute complaint. Like, yeah, she should be able to do these things. She didn't grow up with the same circumstances as Aang. She's not going to deal with things the same way that Aang did.
I just like to go on record.
They like to compare Korra to Aang. But I really feel like, how many avatars could have fooled out with what Aang did? Like, I don't see
none of them.
Any of them. Like, none of them. Maybe a couple. Maybe 3.
No.
Maybe 2. I don't know.
No. Not one of them.
So they're like, so I hate none when they try to use it. Well, Aang did this, Aang did that. Almost no one could do that. Like, what do you?
Yeah,
Aang was 12 minutes old, and he did this, he did that.
No avatar that we know of could have done what Aang did.
Hey, let it be an out of control Kirk.
Hey,
gonna wake up the Fire Nation. Gonna be underwater.
Yeah, well, there's nobody at 12.
Kirk lost a volcano. But we can move on to the next question.
No, there's context around that. There's context around that.
I mean, it was a very big volcano.
Shit was going on, bro. I ain't gonna lie. You advocate too much for nerf for always nerf Korra to then just be like, oh, he lost the volcano.
I don't use a lot of talking about this. The whole who is a better prodigy, Katara or Toph? Who at this time y'all got your final answer?
Wait, before y'all go. Who do you think it is, Brownskin?
I got Katara.
Oh, okay. It's not going to be much of a conversation then.
Yeah, everybody got Katara. Everybody got Katara.
No, the only reason why I say Katara, because, bro, she learned so much so fast. It's like, episode 1, she was like a level 2 Pokemon. And, like, halfway through, she level 99.
Like, nah, she wasn't. No, the fuck. I just watched season 1. She went from like level 2 to level 7. And then
wait, when she beat the little water master, when was that?
Her season two. According to them, season two.
Get them on screen, but she did. She was going crazy. I'm not gonna lie. She built a ice pillar and started like shooting them out like the layers.
Yeah.
Where did you learn that from? I'm watching. She's really fucking faster. Like, this is crazy. Like, it went from, first of all, Katara waterbends with her emotions. Like, she did like what, twice, three times maybe in the series. Like, she's crazy powerful. But I was watching her fight Paku, and I was like, where did she learn these moves from? Like, she's so waterbending, so innate to her. It's insane.
Yeah, not only that, I personally believe that when she was fighting Zuko, she wasn't mad. If she was fighting Zuko the same way she was fighting Paku, Zuko would have stood a chance.
She beat Zuko! Zuko snuck her, bro!
No, I'm saying even with the stun, with the stun up in the air, Zuko would have stood a chance.
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm talking about that ice foot.
Yeah.
Fucking popped.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. She like accidentally froze a nigga like episode 3.
But what was cold about that is when Paku walked away and looked at Katara's necklace, he melted the ice, the prison that Katara was in, without any forms.
Yeah.
That was cold.
Would y'all put Azula as far as Prodigy in the same room or above Toph and Katara?
You said what?
Not above Katara. I'll tell you that.
Would y'all put Azula in as far as a Prodigy, above, below, or in between Katara and Toph?
Below Katara.
More to Prodigy than bending. Mind you, she has the bending too, but I got Azula above them, bro. I'm sorry. She's so cool. She took down Bakugan in a week. I don't know what to tell you. What do you want from me?
Alrighty.
No, I wouldn't argue against you, but I wouldn't bet money in the bait. I wouldn't bet money. But I can't say I 100% disagree, but I wouldn't put money on it.
To me, like the intelligence side of it, because that's planning. Like that, to me, I don't feel like that goes into like that prodigy discussion. Like, because that's usually like specifically surrounding their bending abilities. And just talking about bending abilities, I'd put Azula over Toph, not over Katara. I'd put her at bare minimum. I'd put her at least tied with Toph, maybe slightly above Toph. I'd have Katara at number in number one, but. The intelligence aspect of it, like I wouldn't consider Sokka a prodigy. Like, I would feel like he's a great tactician. Like, I wouldn't say he's a prodigy tactician. Like,
thank you.
I'll tell y'all this. This is as fair as I'm gonna be. Don't ask me any Azula questions if you don't want bias to be in it. That's as fair as I'm gonna be. I'm not gonna lie.
The thing about it is, Katara still has done shit that we've yet to see anybody else do. I didn't see nobody sweat or perfume bend one time in Korra. I ain't seen no other waterbenders do it in the comics, right? Hey, like, I
haven't seen or heard of ever anybody using blue fire.
Yeah, I feel you, but I've seen Mako point blank motherfuckers with lightning.
Right. You know how many metal benders I've seen though?
A whole school of them.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie.
The whole police force.
Mako's very good at lightning bending. Ozai's one of the best at lightning bending. Iroh, I guess, is pretty good at lightning bending.
He can lightning bend.
I've never seen anybody discharge electrons into a ball
and ward off a spirit.
Azula made a lightning ball. I don't know if that's physically possible without some sort of containment. You know what I mean? So What do you want? Like, Azula...
What do you want from me?
I don't know, man.
I'm fine with that, bro. I'm fine with that. That ain't gonna take too much convincing for me.
I feel like it's underrated. I don't feel like it's spoken about enough. But I think Zuko is a part of that prodigy debate as well. I feel like he's definitely in the top 10 conversation, but not with his bending specifically, with his sword, dual sword wielding, because the dude on Day of Black Sun, we can talk all Ozai up all we want, but when he stood up and Zuko was like, nah, we're going to talk. I got the blinkies with me. You can try me if you want to. And Ozai sat right on back down.
Where y'all put General Zhao? If y'all can sit him like,
I'm not gonna lie to you. Razor, all of that, I ain't gonna lie, all of that cooked, bro. Because I'll never forget a bendingless, years removed from ever bending anything, Ozai, scared the piss out of Zuko. Zuko came down there begging for answers. Zuko, I mean, Ozai said, get out of my sight. Zuko said, what? I am your fire lord. Man, Ozai was like, I can't leave. That
he scurried out. We're not going to talk too much about the comments.
He scurried out, bro.
Like, but I'm not going to lie. When Zuko came to ask Ozai for advice on being fire lord, and Ozai said, be gone from my presence. And Zuko was like... Zuko was like, what? I'm the Fire Lord. He said, I should be gone.
he scurried away, bro. Like,
is General Zhao a master, or he just, like, would you consider him a master?
A firebending master?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. No.
I think. I think
How did they get hit? Like, mind you, how do you rank up in, like, did they ever explain how do you keep your position? Or they just,
Admiral, or it's not General Zhao, but like, Admiral Zhao makes no sense. This man had failure after failure after failure, and then got promoted. Don't make no sense at all. He didn't succeed in the slightest, but they say, I don't remember if it was Jung, if it was Zuko, someone said this, but they said, in order to master firebending, you need to master restraint. And that was something that Admiral Zhao was not good at. He had no restraint in his firebending, which is why, like, it was so wild. It was so all over the place. Now, he was a good martial artist, but, like, in terms of firebending, he wasn't good because he couldn't restrain his fire. So, like, I would say to wager, if he tried to do the same routine that Zuko did when he was a kid in front of Fire Lord Azulon, and he kept accidentally shooting out, that's a sign of someone who can't restrain their fire. I'd feel pretty confident that Admiral Zhao would not be able to keep fire from coming out of his fist or out of his feet if he were to do that exact same routine.
Yeah, I really feel like as far as bending goes, a lot of characters I don't know if people think what a regular bender is versus a master. But I really think when you see characters like Azula, they'd be like, no, this is what a good bender is. I'm like, no, she's like a top. A Katara, Azula, top. These are top 0.1% benders. These are anomalies. These will not be seen again for a very long time. So a regular bender, they'd be like, bro, it's like a regular bender versus what Azula is, Toph, Katara. What do you consider someone who's like regular? Like what do you consider Bolin a regular?
As soon as you get to the lava bending, bro, you know you're not regular.
I'd consider Haru a regular earthbender. I consider
the dude who
pretty much all the regular, like the waterbending soldiers in the Northern Water Tribe, they're regular waterbenders.
The dude who took them through that canyon tour, who broke his arm, that's a regular earthbender. But I was talking about.
So I like, what is regular get skewed? Because I guess on screen we always see someone who's OP or got some special ability. If you never get to see what is actually regular and what's considered advanced, and we see masters all the time, and it's all like, are you really a master?
Like, yeah, you got to keep in mind. The Toph's original teacher, well, who didn't teach her much, but like her original teacher, and the guy who was in charge of the rumble or whatever. Those two dudes were considered some of the best earthbenders in the world at the time. The Dai Li are considered some of the best earthbenders in the world at the time. Toph makes all of them look like peons, right? Like she makes them all seem like they're insignificant specs. And so, like, it just gives you an idea. If they're the best, and, like, regular people wouldn't be able to beat any of these people, right? And then Toph is just eclipsing them. It kind of makes it hard to, you would think like regular earthbenders are just trash, but they're not. Just Toph is just that good.
Also, another person who's very underrated, I feel like Master Piandao is very underrated. Bro, I was looking into the Avatar extra notes. He's never been defeated fighting for the Fire Nation. Whom he fought for the Fire Nation his whole life. So I don't know why they added fighting for the Fire Nation. So let's just say he's never been defeated. He's never been defeated. He's the best sword maker in history. And he's the best swordsman for the Fire Nation in the world. No. He's the best. Okay. No. So the statements were that he was the best sword maker in history. He was the best Fire Nation swordsman in history. He was the best. He was the best swordsman in the world at that point. Plus, what was the other one? Oh, he never lost a battle. Plus, he was a grand. He was a high tier
white. Grand White Lotus number.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay, real quick. So to wrap all this shit up, let's end this shit. All right. As far as who had more help, Aang had more help, or Korra had more help?
Aang.
Couldn't tell. Okay, Aang. I think it's how you look at it.
Yeah, I do think Aang had better teammates, but Korra had more, what's it called? Not assets, but tools. She had more stuff to pull from.
I mean, it depends on what you mean by, like, help. Like, there was more people that Korra had. Like, there was no situation where, like, Aang had, like, 50-plus airbenders creating an entire tornado
More better teammates or better, like, hey, I need help, I need advice, hey, can you show me how, like, to do
it? It just depends. It's just like, would you rather, you know, it's like, would you rather one, like, unbeatable person in your squad or 10, like, really good fighters? I guess, you know, it's like, it just depends on how you look. Like, I would say Korra had the quantity when it comes to help, and Aang had the quality when it comes to the help.
I really feel like if Korra goes...
That's where you gotta look at those situations. Like, Aang again was down,
it's over. Like, I was like, if Korra goes down, it's over. It's over. If Aang goes down, they have a chance.
I ain't gonna lie. Like, I know Aang would have appreciated the fuck out of a Spirit Runner.
In what scenario though? Like, in what? If Aang goes down, nobody's beating Ozai.
Nobody.
I'm saying there's a chance. If Korra goes down, there's no chance.
Okay,
no,
it's zero. What's the problem with that?
It's 0%.
Oh, so if we're talking about the series and we're talking about in Aang's story, the main problems can only be fixed by the Avatar. Quite literally. The promise through imbalance. Can only be, these are Avatar problems, right?
Yeah.
There is no fallback, right? He gets the support, he gets the moral support of Katara, he gets the moral support of Toph, he gets the moral support of Sokka.
Shit, but Toph was definitely oppositional.
Decisions. Yeah, and then we go to the series, his end goal can only be defeated by him. Like, Razor made a video yesterday talking about how it's crazy how Zuko saw Katara bloodbend, and he wasn't like, this would beat Ozai.
Yeah. He watched Zuko watched Katara bloodbend another man, and at no point was like, we can use this.
This is enough. This is enough.
Okay, I got a question. So for bloodbending, the way that you don't get bloodbended, at least, is being a stronger waterbender than the waterbender who's trying to bloodbend you. Like, it has to be specifically a stronger waterbender?
Yeah.
That's what Katara says. She says, I'm stronger than you.
So how do we know that applies to waterbending and not just bending?
Because it used
the earthbending style that Yun and Jiangzu use when they over-envelop somebody's bending. So if you're a stronger earthbender than somebody in the Kyoshi novels, they use a move where they over-envelop your bending.
Yeah.
Are you asking if you can do that for every element?
No, I'm just asking because I was just asking to get a consensus on that, because I had another question after.
The reason I would say no is because Yakon was able to bloodbend Aang, but Aang is the greatest airbender to ever exist. And I would say the level of mastery that Aang has in airbending surpasses the level of mastery that Yakon has in waterbending, yet Yakon's waterbending skill surpasses Aang's waterbending skill. And so it wasn't until Aang went into the Avatar state that it elevated his own waterbending skill and he was able to negate the bloodbending.
I hate to ask. But is it possible that though Aang might be the greatest waterbender, it doesn't necessarily mean he's the, I'm not waterbender, airbender, that it doesn't mean he's the strongest?
Who's strongest? So
he's the strongest.
Like, I mean, by feet, right? Like, what's the one, the living typhoon from whatchamacall?
I mean, like, Aang stopped the, Aang stopped a volcano with his airbending. That's a pretty, I wouldn't say that's a similar feat. I mean, I'll give it to you like this. Does Aang have an airbending feat that's as good as taking out an entire fleet?
No.
But we can narratively make.
I'm not saying greater. I'm specifically saying stronger. Like I don't think those are the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like because we know. I can't remember how they described it, but when he goes into the Avatar state, and when he sees his like the air temple was destroyed, and they categorized the lens that he was producing was like I don't remember the rating. It was like a F something. It was like F something, and then that's over. It was like over 200 something miles per hour. And then as it went on, it upped it even higher. And then of course the miles per hour got even higher. And of course that's in the Avatar state. But like this is a 12-year-old Aang who's surpassed all his masters. I stand to reason like an adult Aang who's presumably has been practicing even longer would have like been able to do the exact same thing regularly. Not eating out, I say.
Okay, wrapping this up. Last few comments, wrapping this shit up. It's about an hour. Alright, so last little tidbit.
I haven't read this novel. I'm still looking for it. Jacer J still got to send it to me. But apparently, this is what he told me in the novel, and I've heard from somebody else too, right? That spoiler warning. Yeah. That the condensed fire blast that Ozai sent to Aang while he was in that ball,
yeah,
had more firepower than the fire that he let off in the range of the mountain, right? And yeah. Aang, once that earth broke, Aang held that back with air, right? So that would be a better feat AP wise than knocking out a fleet.
Yeah. And it's in the novelization of book three of that, and it takes place in that.
Like that. I got the novelizations of book two right now.
Yeah.
All right, wrapping this up. But all right, man. Look, I appreciate Razor, Kakarot, Nell. I appreciate all y'all stopping by, man. This is a good episode. We need to do another one. Y'all obviously know y'all Avatar shit. Especially y'all reading that. I ain't read up on the comics because I'm behind on that shit. Y'all was chatting. So I ain't know what y'all was talking about that. But hey, Korra, Avatar, I'm with y'all. But yeah, we gonna do some bells. We're gonna do some more episodes. But yeah, I appreciate y'all coming out, man. I'm gonna holler at y'all. But yeah, thank y'all for stopping by, man. I appreciate y'all.
For sure.
I'll leave it at this. If we're making a My Hero Academia podcast, I'm the number one knowledgeable expert on it, so I'm just gonna go ahead and throw it out there now. Just let
them know now. I hate when niggas lie.
Hey, y'all, man, y'all will get in. I'll let y'all.
All right.